one abstention.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. I just heard...
It really wasn't. I voted no on this. We had one other voter no and one person.
Good afternoon. I'll call this meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission to order and ask for a roll call.
Commissioner Gibson?
Here.
Commissioner Christie?
Here.
Commissioner Malasko?
Here.
Commissioner Rapa?
Here.
Chairman Rose?
Here. And I'll now ask that we all please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now is the time for public comment. Anyone from the public wishing to address the commission on others not on the agenda today? The agenda for today is the County of San Luis Obispo's plan to update the North Coast Area Plan. So anybody want to speak on anything other than that? Don't see anybody rushing up, so I'll close the public comment period, and then we'll open up our hearing item. And before we do discuss the speaker slips, I have agreed that at the beginning of every meeting we would take people who wish to comment in general, as well as when we get down to the individual chapters 3, 4, 5. And our intention today is to do chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're optimistic there, but... that's what we've set out for ourselves. So if you want to speak on Chapter 3, give me a speaker slip saying Chapter 3. If you want to speak on 4 and 5 or 6, give me one for those too. And I'll keep four different piles and so forth. I have a Will Washburn here, and was he going to be on General or 3, 4, 5, or 6?
Probably General.
Okay. Got it. And I'll ask the secretary to introduce today's item.
Hearing today is a continued hearing to consider a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to update and amend the Cambria and San Simeon Acres community plan portions of the North Coast Area Plan. Number 2, to amend the Cambria Design Plan. 3, to amend the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance. County file number LRP 2004-00024. Supervisorial District 2, Martha Nieder, Project Manager.
All right, and before we get into it, Ms. Nieder, could you kind of recap where we've been, where we're going, and then we'll have some public comment, and then I'll ask you to go into the details of today's.
Sure. Replacement pages for Chapter 2 reflecting the Planning Commission's recommendations, 1 and 2 replacement pages, which the Commission already made tentative recommendations on, are available at the website.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions of the commissioners in general nature?
I have just a general question.
Thanks. I have a general question, and maybe it's a question, maybe it's a suggestion. We're getting comments from members of the public that are addressing, in some cases, issues that have been in previous chapters, issues that are contained in previous chapters. And so... I think it's too disruptive to keep going back and forth to old chapters, but I don't want to disregard those comments just because people weren't able to come to the hearing. So could we set aside or agree that we will set aside time at the end to, like, have an open issues day where we can address things that have come up after we've closed chapters or questions that have arisen after we've taken actions? Does that sound feasible, plausible?
All our actions are tentative actions. So I think that, you know, let's just kind of progress through, and hopefully maybe at the last meeting we'll have a little bit of time to, if somebody wants to bring something up that was brought to them by the public or whatever, that maybe that's the approach.
Right. I would think we'd want to assess the volume and the nature of those comments. We do have this plan going to hearing at the Board of Supervisors again, so it's not the last time that public comment can be taken on these matters.
Understood, but I mean, I think it's incumbent on us to send the board a plan that you know, reflects the maximum amount of public participation that we've been able to receive. And I know, for instance, I got a long, detailed letter from Coastwalk about things that they'd like to see put into Chapter 1. Well, we don't really want to go back and deal with Chapter 1 today, but at some point I think we should deal with those and other similar comments. So I just wanted to get a general sense of how...
I would,
how those comments are going to be dealt with. And so
I would certainly hope they would be minimal, otherwise we'll be iterating forever.
Well, we can hope, but they may or may not be.
No, we can make them minimal. I mean, I'm certainly, there's a few that are going to jump out that we really need to deal with, and a few are, you know.
Right, but I mean, the Coastal Act and the LCP calls for maximum public participation. That's all I'm saying, and I don't think people should be penalized because they weren't able to get, I mean, it is an open document until we take final action, but the way we're proceeding is chapter by chapter, and I don't think people should be penalized for getting their comments in after we've reviewed a chapter, if you know, it's a substantive comment that warrants discussion.
I would just like to add that we're having this evening meeting for people that could not attend during today, and there may be someone, you know, come tonight that has some additions to 1 and 2, and I think we need to consider those.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
So no, I don't see a problem.
Okay, good. I just wanted to get some clarification on that, so I think we can
attend. Okay.
Thank you.
Now I'll open up the public hearing for general comments. I have several speaker slips. Will Washburn up first, and then James Ensley. So if Will's coming up, maybe James could be getting ready to come up.
Hello. My name is Will Washburn, and I live in Santa Maria. My wife Linda and I purchased our Cambria home site about 30 years ago. We plan to retire in Cambria and have faithfully paid our taxes on the land in support of Cambria's library, roads, schools, all that, etc. The residents of Cambria have enjoyed the subsidy of their living in Cambria, but some of them really do not want us to have the opportunity to live there, and they expect us to continue to financially subsidize their lifestyle without us getting the opportunity to also live there. I am referring to the discriminatory 1% growth limit being considered for Cambria. And I don't know. I'm just finding this very, very difficult to say. But why would it be that we have to look at a different growth limit for Cambria than is being imposed on the rest of the county? That's my basic question. I would like to think that if it's necessary to have a lower limit for the fully developed properties in Cambria that are paying taxes of 1%, then why don't we make that the same for all the county? Why is it only Cambria that has to be given that consideration of a lower growth rate? I have had...
About at 2.3%, about 60 individuals or 60 homes a month. With that, a year. With that in mind, we bought a home that was pretty low on the list because we wanted to plan to retire in about 10 years. And our home lot number was 560 on the wait list. So we anticipated that in 10 years we'd be able to build. As you can see now, we've had moratoriums, and the rate has been dropped to 1%, and now we're talking about maintaining a 1% rate. And I think that that'd be dishonoring our commitment as well as and our faith in the government and the system the way it works today. We understand there are reasons why the moratorium was on and can abide by that and go with it, but we feel if this is an arbitrary or doesn't seem to have any other basis, since 2.3% has worked for many years, and before that there was hardly, the rate was even higher, the growth rate in that area. So we really feel that real tough consideration do that, but I go beyond that right now. A part of this has to do with also planning for the future. I had planned to buy the lot next to me and retire part of that lot so that when I build my house someday, that it would have less intrusion on the properties there. And I think that's part of what we're looking at and working with the CCSD there. My thought was is that that's where I had to put my effort and time in working with them to come up with a solution to the problems that are there. I feel that that's where my effort's been, and I think that you should give some credence and some leeway to the CCSD and what they've been working on and their plans and so forth as well. I spent a lot of time attending their meetings. So in probably retiring lots and trying to put a cap on the growth, I think it's you should look at the individuals, too, who are, like myself, planning to buy the lots next to me. Now, I don't know if I'll buy that lot. It doesn't have a water position, but I was hoping to do that, but depends on what happens in the next year or so, whether I feel it's going to be beneficial or it would be worthwhile to do that. I would love to do that. That's what I'd like to do and build the home that I want to. It's also with plans and everything, if they keep changing on you, you're not sure what you can build or what will be able to be built in the future. You'd like at least to have some idea and start planning for that, even if it's going to be a few years away. So I'd hope that there wouldn't be any drastic changes in the requirements of building structures so that we could start at least looking at plans ahead.
Could you summarize, sir?
Okay.
Time is up.
Okay. In closing, I'd just like to state that I'm not opposed to reasonable and necessary changes, and are willing to wait if necessary to ensure the character community is maintained. I wish not to take away, but to add to the community.
Thank you. David Johnson, followed by Bob Eckhart.
Good morning. I'm David Johnson. My property is located at 2098 Emmons Road in Cambria. I thank the commission for holding this extended session today and for my opportunity to speak to it. So many of us view this plan update as a make or break point in our future to build and to live in the community of Cambria. So many of us hold out great hope for this commission to be a strong voice for reason, to give definite direction for future growth via a master plan. We are all too familiar with the stance of the CCSD board to date and growth and water issues associated with it. We see this commission as an agency that can give us grounds for equal standing legally and morally when we challenge decisions made by the CCSD boards. There are numerous war chests being filled to engage the CCSD in court at the appropriate times. But every time the commission or the Board of Supervisors makes rules treating Cambria differently from the rest of the county, i.e., the 1% instead of the 2.3% growth rate, you make it harder for us to prevail in court and receive justice. Hold Cambria to the same standards as the rest of the county. The citizenry will then hold the CCSD to the appropriate levels and fairness standards we deserve and expect from our public servants, as do we from this commission. Please show the community that this independent commission warrants the respect due it by clear, even bold decisions derived out of knowledge, sound information, and fairness to the powerful as well as the common citizen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bob Eckhart, followed by Linda Johnson.
Hi, my name is Bob Eckhart, and my property is at 930 Drake. I would like to see the Cambria have the same growth rate as the rest of the county. I really don't understand how, you know, we got in a situation like this. I've had my property for over 12 years, and
all lot owners owning property in Cambria at the time. The county holds monies of each of these stakeholders in a trust for future building permits. Yet no place in this 20-year plan does the draft account for these 350 owners. We are all contribute to the local and county tax base. We participate in the fire protection weed abatement program. And in 2003, we voted to increase the fire suppression assessment. One of the primary tenets of this country's move to independence was taxation without representation. We have no voting rights for CCSD or board members, or Board of Supervisor members. 350 citizens appear to be without representation in this county plan. We call on this commission to be our voice in a fair and equitable treatment under the future development of the plan. This way, the CCSD list, the way the CCSD was originally created, was suspect from the beginning. The county meticulously provides each properties their tax bill each year. Why did it not provide notification in the same manner when creating the water wait list by the CCSD? Perhaps if they had done so, the county would not be in this predicament today. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the last speaker slip I have.
County down for chapter 3.
I do.
I think it might be more appropriate if I spoke now, if that's all
right. You can speak on general issues and not cut into your time on chapter 3, is my understanding.
I'm here representing the North Coast Alliance. My name is Wayne Ryburn, and I'm sorry I missed your last meeting, but I wasn't able under any circumstances to attend. But I picked up in the newspaper that there was quite a bit of discussion about the 1% growth rate. So we put together the letter that you have in front of you with the idea that it would hopefully clarify some of the issues that are not clear to you or the audience. So I'll briefly read it to you. Cambria's current annual growth rate is referenced on page 2.9 in the community plan and pages 3.9 and 337 in the draft EIR. It has been reviewed annually and set at 1% by the Board of Supervisors as part of the San Luis Obispo County Growth Ordinance through the Resource Management System since 1999. So we're talking about a 6-year history of this. The 1% growth rate is based on Cambria's current lack of resources, primarily in the areas of water supply, sewage disposal, fire suppression, roads, and traffic capacity. The Cambria Community Service District, as part of its water master plan, is developing a seawater desalination plant. This is to be accompanied by growth mitigation measures in the form of continued water conservation, a build-out reduction program to retire residential lots, which will result in an accumulative total of 4,650 water meter connections. If the CCSD's lot retirement program is to be viable, we feel the 1% growth rate recommended by staff for inclusion in the plan should remain effective until both the desalinization plant and the lot retirement program are operational. Thereafter, the growth rate, which is set annually by the Board of Supervisors, would revert to them for the resource management system annual review. So what I'm saying is to clear the air. The Board of Supervisors has set this 1% growth rate. The community hasn't. Should be aware that it's reviewed every year, that it's not arbitrary, it's not spurious, it's not at the whim of somebody living in the community. It's the Board of Supervisors looking at it each year and determining the resources aren't there to build more homes. So we hope that you'll understand this in our discussions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And do you have one more copy of that letter for our secretary? Otherwise, we'd have to give her one of ours.
I did.
Okay.
You got it.
Well, thank you.
Mr.
Anyone else?
I'd like to respond if I could.
Well, let me get the rest of the public comment in. Is anyone else? Okay. Come on up to the. No, we can hear you. And I really got to advise the audience that the 1% growth rate is going to be covered in Chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken. Is right, Ms. Neener? At that time, we're going to get into it. And all we're. Yeah, I'm beginning to hear the same theme from the same people, and I got it, okay. But we're going to deal with it when we get to Chapter 7.
Hi, I'm Kathy Eckert, and all the lot retirement issues, you cannot implement this measure without an accurate monetary amount, which would be based on the number of lots that you would qualify for retirement. I'm also concerned on once this measure is ready, there are so many retired folks in Cambria on fixed income, according to the EIR report, that do you really feel they would or could even consider passing a bond measure of that magnitude. Also, the monies already spent on studies done and redone to supposedly resolve Cambria's water problems could have been used to actually implement a resolution to the problem. We personally, my husband and I, have been waiting for 12 years to hear a solution, but others have waited even longer. The CCSD has had many years or so to solve this problem. I also feel that once there is a plan in place, there's no reason for Cambria to have a permanent 1% growth rate, as they could be restored to the 2.3 as the rest of the county has been allocated. And I appreciate you listening to my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Close public, this portion of the public hearing, and bring back to the commission. Had some comments? Or?
Yeah, I think it's instructive to realize that the 1% growth rate that's being suggested by staff in the plan is actually the middle ground between the 2.3% growth rate that applies elsewhere in the county and the recommendations of the Coastal Commission in the previous plan update, wherein the commission recommended that 125 meters per year or units per year be built until 2001, at which point no new development should occur that relied on withdrawals from San Simeon Santa Rosa Creek until Cambria had a new source of water online. So for the gentleman, I think it was Mr. Hensley, that was concerned that the rules keep changing and it makes it difficult for people to plan, the fact that the RMS system is reviewed annually makes it more difficult to do that. And I know we're going to get more into this issue in Chapter 7, but since there was so much comment, I felt that, you know, we should at least offer some response. And the 1% growth rate in the LCP wouldn't be set in stone. I mean, things change. But until things change, then all of the lot owners in Cambria would have that to rely on, that they know how many permits are going to happen per year, and that's what they could plan on. So that's just food for thought. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to pass on until I get to Chapter 7, and then I'll have that sandwich. Okay. Let's delve into Chapter 3. Ms. Nieder?
Okay, we introduced Chapter 3 at the last hearing. In your August 2nd, 2005 packet, you have some proposed replacement changes, pages that reflect the changes I talked about at the last hearing. I did talk with Public Works regarding solid waste disposal and have additional changes to page 314. If I could... Lona, if I could get the chapter up on.
And while we're waiting for technology to catch up, do we still have that pile of plans over in the corner over there? So if somebody needed one, we go through this kind of page by page. If somebody wants to borrow one for today, they could get it and be reading ahead or reading with it with us. Just please bring them back at the end of the meeting.
And there are also extra packets of extra August 2nd, 2005 packets with the proposed replacement pages as well. So based on Public Works comments, this word private here in the second sentence of the first paragraph would be changed to franchise contractors. At the end of the paragraph, all of this underlined text, which was proposed new text, would be taken out. And then this paragraph here, also needed is, would be taken out, and instead the first sentence would read, a regional composting facility to process green waste, including the disposal of significant amounts of cut trees and stumps, exists at the Cold Canyon landfill. And then insert another sentence reading, currently green waste disposal is available in Cambria, but not in San Simeon Acres or the rural areas. And that concludes staff's comments on Chapter 3.
Okay, and Chapter 3 is Public Facilities, Services, and
Resources. 328, 330, 343. It's addressed in a different way each time you talk about it, and it should be a single plan that can be endorsed by both CCSD and the county. Chapter 3 also gives a lengthy talk about the history of the water supply issues in and around Cambria, and a lot of the opinions expressed are outdated and from several sources. Some aren't even named, or where the information was obtained isn't credited in the report. CCSD, as we talked about the last meeting here, is almost ready to adopt the Water Master Plan, which will tell us how CCSD will deliver its services to its customers over the next 20 years. I think we'd all be better served if this plan were to be a plan, an actual plan, instead of just a progress report. Chapter 3, Item 43, Paragraph 10, reference is made to a ballot measure for a lot reduction. That, I feel, should be replaced by a lot reduction plan that's determined by the CCSD. Also, in future studies of water use, zoning for new development, it can be perhaps looked at that all future landscaping should be done with reclaimed water rather than potable water. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Wayne Ryburn, followed by Joy Fitzhugh.
I previously spoke.
Then after Joy, it will be Kathy Eckert.
Good afternoon, Joy Fitzhugh, San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau. And I did hand each of you a letter at the previous hearing. I'm not sure that you have it with you today. So what I do have, I have some drafts that I can give you. They don't have our Farm Bureau logo on them, unfortunately, and they aren't signed because I quickly rushed to put them back together. So I will give them to you so that you can follow me again.
We have it. It'd just be a matter of finding it.
That's kind of what I wondered, because it's been quite a gap. I have three places on Chapter 3 that I'd like to address. One of them is on page 311, and it talks to the last paragraph. And I'll wait just a second while you each get...
Ms. Fitzhugh, do you have the... insert of the new...
Yes.
That page? Okay.
Yeah. You'll see that in the bold underlined italics is what I'd like to see inserted in that page. And basically all three of them relate to recognizing and acknowledging that what happens with water use and supply in the town of Cambria and San Simeon too, but mostly this relates to Cambria, affects the outlying areas, the agricultural community, the natural resources, the watersheds. And so each of these inserts reflects that. You'll notice on my comment for 319, I asked for the addition of "and surrounding areas," because I feel that that's very important, that we have to keep that in mind. And if you flip to the second page, adding, that is for, it relates to page 341, at the end of the first sentence on that 341 overall water supply, I also want to see hopefully added, or the safe yield of the area water sources. I think this is very important. We don't want to just look at the capacity for the community to grow to the water supply. We also want to look at the safe yield of the area resources. So, and I'll because it's in writing, I'll let you look at that more and not have to listen to me try to explain it.
Thank you. Kathy Eckert, followed by Linda Johnson. Okay. Maybe I didn't make much. The plan is, we're, each time we meet, we're going to get some general comments, people that didn't have a chance to speak before, just had something in general to say, and then we'll go over each chapter one by one and get comments. Okay, so Ms. Eckhart?
I'm Linda Johnson at 2098 Emmons. In Chapter 3, it does talk a lot about the lot reduction and consolidation. And as Kathy reminded you in the census, it tells us that over 80% of the community is retired. So many of them are on fixed incomes. Open lots that they want to call open parks or whatever. There's nothing in there that states how they will be maintained. In other words, who will pay for the weed abatement process every year, and who will pay for them to not be a fire hazard, to be, you know, amongst homes, which I think is the open idea is a great idea. It's just that there's no foundation that tells us how they're going to be maintained. I believe that the county does have the ability to go through, because they have APN numbers assigned to each property. Now, some of the lots in the 1920s were only 25-foot lots, which are not a buildable lot at this time, and probably never will be. But if they're next to another APN number of a 25-foot lot, and if they're owned by the same person, then they have a 50-foot lot, but they have two APN numbers. And I think that that's where there's been a misunderstanding about how many lots are buildable in Irvine, in Cambria, because they're looking at each lot individually with an APN number. And while some three lot have only one APN number, sometimes there's four lots that have four APN numbers. So we need that needs to be addressed by the county, because they're the ones who have the figures, because they're the ones who send out the tax bills. And I would believe that they would have that information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
James Inslee.
Yes, my name is Jim Inslee. As I addressed before on the lot retirement issue, that's something that my wife and I have decided we'd like to do in the process of working with this. I guess the reason I want to speak at this point is just to say that the CCSD has worked hard to come up and work with the lot owners in the area to come up with reasonable plans and so forth. So I'd like, before any decisions made here, that some input be done from them in what they have done and look at their water master plan and retirement program before anything is done. Secondly, just a quick question on this 20-year plan that we'd have before us here. It was indicated that this is not set in stone, and I'm just new to this, so I'm not quite clear. How is it, if you pass this, that it will not be set in stone? Or maybe it would be better to revert to the 2.3 and give the discretion to the district to decide whether or not it should be 1% or 0%. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the last speaker slip I have. Anyone else? Seeing none, close it. Now we'll get to the commission going through chapter and verse. And hopefully we can get the chapters on the screen.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, while we're in a little dead time, I will, for the record, state that I've reviewed the video recordings of June 23rd, July 14th, and I was in attendance on July 14th mostly, and all of July 28th, so I am up to speed and ready to go on this item. And if I could segue from that into the comment about this being a 20-year plan, I just want to confirm with staff that there is no sunset clause on this plan at 20 years. The term of 20 years has been brought up in the means of calculating some numbers. But there's nothing that I've read in this plan that triggers any change in the plan 20 years from the day that it's adopted. Is that correct?
John Efrat, planning staff. Yes, that is correct. I mean, we use it in the planning world just as sort of a best case estimate of when and use it for estimates and projections. I mean, we would love to see it updated sooner than that, and very likely will, but aren't going to promise. And so, but in 20 years is really the lifetime of our assumptions, I think.
It's really supposed to be done every 5 years, am I not correct?
In a perfect world, it would be.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody got anything on page one? Two? On A2, which is providing timely services, it looks like you're pretty much quoting the goals that we had done earlier in Chapter 1, but you didn't exactly word A2, providing timely services, the same way you did it on 11A on page 1-8, and I'm not sure that matters. They say essentially the same thing.
We can go back and make sure the writing's the same, but it doesn't matter. They're just...
Yeah, they say essentially the same thing. Yeah. They don't contradict one another, let's put it that way. And on item A3...
Have a good community. So I think that's... I don't want to put words in Bob's mouth, but I think that's what he's saying. And this does outline quite clearly, you know, the levels that it grows through, a time in which it's reviewed. I mean, the whole thing.
I think the way that conflict, not to put words in your mouth, could be resolved analytically is that even if we end up putting a 1% growth cap into the plan, that the resource management system will still be of use and invoked to determine the levels of stress on other resources that may... warrant a reduction even beyond 1%, that 1% is the cap, but that it's not necessarily the, that we're not necessarily going to assume that the other resources are going to be able to support us meeting that cap. Would that be an accurate way to sort of guide ourselves through that, Mr. Euphrat? Was that what staff had in mind?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, clearly, I don't think they contradict one another, and we'll get into that some of the details on the 1% in Chapter 7, but real simply, I mean, it was an easy way for us to project out the future for the next 20 years, and I think we've heard from the district on a number of occasions, and they're here and can comment if necessary, that they felt that that was kind of a reasonable estimate, but we realize, kind of based on the comments we've heard in previous meetings, that we're prepared to provide some options for you to consider. But clearly, the resource management system is much bigger, broader, and covers other issues.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on 3.2, item 5, in the paragraph, second sentence. For example, in the absence of a decision to import water from outside the planning area, then you go down to the last line and you list desalinization. Doesn't that come from outside the area?
Hey, ocean's right next door there.
Yeah, but it's not part of our planning area.
I were picking nits there.
Well... It could be, but
I did. You can see I have it circled also there.
Okay. All right.
I understand what you're saying. I think they meant to say state water, nacimiento, that kind of thing.
Well,
I guess the comment I would make about that paragraph is that if you look at the heading, it says relationship to planning goals, policies, and programs, and it talks about how the general plan and in our local coastal plan and how we're supposed to. And it sort of identifies the five issues that we want to be sure that we have a balanced relationship with. And in my opinion, the paragraph is a statement. It isn't balancing growth and resources. That's definitely a goal, and it's a policy, and it's coordinated through our various programs that we have. Timely service, resource management, financing and facility planning, facility locations. And then we have this paragraph. I find it actually I find it almost an editorial comment. I don't disagree with it. I just think it's an editorial comment that perhaps doesn't even belong there.
Are you making a case to get rid of it?
I don't think it adds anything.
Well, I would think that the meat of water supply is down further in chapter three, and I agree. I mean the essence of those goals under there, to me, I tried to summarize them for myself, and growth should occur in balance with available public services. And public services can be provided so long as they avoid serious adverse environmental impacts, and therefore growth can be accommodated to the extent that natural resources are protected and at a rate that allows public services to keep up. And I think that's the meat of what's under heading A there. The questions of where water comes from are down the line just a little bit.
And if you're making a case to get rid of it, I would agree based on the assumption the water supply for the entire coast is going to be obtained somewhere. And we don't know that. The services district may decide to sign up for state water or Nacimiento water. I mean, and if they did, then they would throw this plan out because of that. I don't presume that they are. But
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would hope that a little further in, a few pages in here, we might get an extended comment from the services district. I think they have representatives here, and I think they could shed some real light on any questions we might have about that.
You know, rather than scrap that whole paragraph, maybe we can just sort of bracket it. It might fit somewhere else more appropriately than under the relationship to planning goals.
Okay, so we'll give that to Ms.
Neeter. I don't think anybody disagrees with what's in it, really.
Right.
We'll give that to Ms. Neeter to put it in your in basket, in your pending basket somewhere.
Well,
County of San Luis Obispo, we scratch County Hospital.
Well, there's still components of County General that are operating, not as an inpatient hospital, but their laboratory and I think a couple other of their departments are still extant.
Isn't there a more appropriate name?
Right, the hospital assumes you go there with your emergency vehicle or your maternity issues or your. Right. Appendix that needs to come out.
Well, it is sort of a department, and I think we probably should greatly avoid any discussion of that, as you'll recall how long that took.
That's good, but I do think maybe Ms. Neeter can come up with a better name to describe the services that are now the medical services right. that are now provided by the county.
What are they calling that facility these days? Does anybody know?
Well, there's more than the facility, though, because there are clinics, there are all kinds of things that happen. There's dialysis that happens. I mean, there's mental health. There's all kinds of things that happen that are medical. It must have a name.
Right, and
everybody
I'm
else
hoping
has a name.
We could capture that.
Medical
right.
services, health services.
Well, they must already have one, I'm saying.
And yeah, rather than coming up with it now, Ms. Neeter can find the appropriate
find
person,
appropriate.
And I'll have a nice name for it and substitute that there. Okay, anything else on service providers in the planning area? Then moving on to page 3.5, which is monitoring the availability of resources through resource management systems. And that goes on for several pages.
I have a question, actually, about level of severity 3. The text says this situation suggests that actions may need to occur to protect public health and safety. It was my understanding that when the RMS reached level 3, it was pretty much sort of crisis and that actions had to be undertaken. But that's my understanding. Does this come straight out of the RMS document?
In practice, that has not been the case.
I'm sorry, we've closed the public hearing. We have ample staff that can answer that question for us.
John Euphrat, planning staff. It clearly indicates that the capacity of the resource has either been met or exceeded,
right.
as it's stated. But the actual action that you then take is separate. And so it's, for example, in Cambria, since we're talking about Cambria, the fact that we're out of water, it doesn't mandate that the county impose a moratorium, just to cut to the chase. In this case, there is one. It was imposed by the CSD, but the steps in the resource management system don't mandate a certain action by the county. It's a separate step by the Board of Supervisors.
So, go ahead.
Is the resource management system, does it currently have a component that's part of the existing certified LCP?
No, it does not.
So would this be codifying the RMS system
no.
into the LCP, or this is just
no,
sort of giving a nod to it?
Well, I mean, in a way,
nod
I view
to it.
The RMS system is an advisory information providing system to the Board of Supervisors in making their decisions under the Growth Management Ordinance.
That's correct.
A fair way to characterize it. I would.
And it's countywide, of course. Right. It doesn't apply just in the coastal zone, and that's why. Right.
Exactly. I mean, but I would urge that it, you know, that it be strengthened, that more information, and that that policy be made at the board level to take very seriously certain actions based on certain levels.
So is it in an ordinance? I mean, mm-hmm. where it's
Title 26 of the county code.
Okay, but it's not in the CZLUO.
Correct.
Okay. So is this the language that comes directly out of Title 22 that actions may need to occur?
Mm-hmm. It might be summarized, but that's clearly the intent.
Straight out of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. So what opportunity do we have through this plan to do what Commissioner Gibson was suggesting, to send a more urgent message when resources reach LOS 3? Is that something we can deal with in Chapter 7 or later in this chapter?
I mean, if you wanted to codify something, you know, such as the growth rate, you know, that's one option, which is based primarily on the lack of water. But, you know, we wouldn't recommend that you tie it to the growth management system. We think it should be separate and unique.
The resource management system.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think all it does is it informs decision makers of what, in fact, is going on. Their roads are clogged or the sewage capacity is gone. Or once you have, you know, some official way of knowing that, rather than just general knowledge.
I mean, it just seems counterintuitive. At LOS 2, this is a point at which a public works project must be initiated, and if necessary, actions taken that will extend the time, et cetera, et cetera. So level LOS 2 from the read of this actually forces something to happen, whereas LOS 3 kind of backs away from it.
We're 99% sure. It is in our LCP as part of our framework for planning document. This is just a description of the RMS. We think it's there, but I'll pull it up on the network real quick and make sure. And Ms. Beck can talk while I'm pulling it up.
Pat Beck, County Planning. John Hofscher and I were discussing, I think this is actually wording extracted from the framework for planning that describes the resource management system. We can verify that. I think it's just really carrying it forward so the public reading this document would be aware of what the county's overall system, including the way it's handled in the coastal zone. So I think the wording is exactly the same. Ultimately, it sort of depends on the resource. If you're a traffic problem, your solution might be this, this, and this. If it's a water problem, it's going to be something different. And when we identify that we've reached a level 2 or a level 3, we go to the Board of Supervisors and we get direction on do this or that. We prepare, for example, when it's water, we prepare a resource capacity study, and then we present it to the board, and they hold a public hearing. And after the public has the opportunity to say, well, we think there's other things you should consider, or the service provider says, hey, we're doing this, that, or the other, ultimately the Board of Supervisors can decide, no, this is so serious, we have to do something immediate. There's a health and safety issue. Or, hey, the service provider's got some things in place. I think Cambria is actually an example where we slowed things down when the service provider said, hey, we're running into some issues and we're going to be studying it. We're going to change our rate from 2.3 to 1%. Those were the range of choices that the board had. They could have said it needed to be clear over here, or they could conclude after all of the public testimony, hey, we think staff's wrong. We don't think we're at a level 3. We think we're at a level 2. That's the discretion within the definitions of what a 2 and a 3 is. And ultimately, the Board of Supervisors weighs that out on the basis of the resource and the information that's presented to them. So I think you'll find these are the same words that are part of the countywide system. John will just verify that for you.
John, you've right. Yeah, I have verified it. And unfortunately, I have it on my screen, but I can't project it up there because it's not connected to the projection system. But basically, this is a summary of what is in our LCP and our Framework for Planning document. That describes the procedure and what we do and the options that Ms. Beck was just discussing.
That seems like we just ought to leave it be then.
Well, actually, I was just going to mention that the periodic review in 2001 had some specific recommendations relative to the RMS system. And I'm wondering if that's and the specific recommendations, it was recommendation 2.2, And the recommendation was to strengthen the implementation of the RMS system. And they had some specific language that included implementing phase two in the framework for planning and establishing an expanded RMS task force that include Coastal Commission staff. Is that something that's being contemplated elsewhere in this document? Or did that get considered in this draft?
I think it's safe to say it was considered, but it was not considered by the board in their phase one review of the periodic review recommendations from the Coastal Commission, and it's one that I don't think there was agreement on. Again, mostly because that system is intended to be countywide, and we didn't, by adding the Coastal Commission to that loop, we felt would be not very efficient.
But don't you review these sort of community by community when you do the RMS?
Oh, absolutely.
Evaluation, and so couldn't the commission staff be included in communities that are in the coastal zone?
And they do participate from the standpoint, just not in a decision-making mode. It kind of gets to a local control issue to some degree. But, for example, we send our annual report to the commission every year, and we ask for their input in advance as well. So they get an opportunity to comment in the beginning, and then they get a copy of the results. But in terms of the final action as to what you might take, that's... We felt better to be at the local level.
Well, I just bring that up because, it seems to speak to the need to strengthen the RMS system, and that's one of the ways to do it. So,
would you say again where you're reading from? Just in very plain English, what are you reading from?
This is the Coastal Commission's periodic review of the area's local coastal program that was completed by the commission in 2001.
Okay.
That came up with a whole series of recommendations, some of which are referenced in this update, in this plan update.
But they recommended changing the coastal zone framework for planning, and the county evidently hasn't done that. But that's another battle, and we're not in that battle today.
I don't know exactly the intent of what the Coastal Commission was recommending there, but it seems to me as we get further down into this plan, there are lots of details that speak to having this plan be well inside available resources and public services to provide. So I, without having read that verbatim...
We decided not to include it, and so I think we can move on.
And I'm willing to do that. So I'm guessing we've finished C, Resource Management System. Moving on to D, Area-Wide Status of Public Facilities, Services, and Resources, which starts on page 3-7.
And, Mr. Chairman, I would only look over on 3-8 on the level of severity on the roads in circulation in Table 3-1. It seems to me that those numbers... or an expanded version of those numbers show up in the circulation chapter 5, and that those have been actually replaced so that the numbers that are in the plan mesh with the evaluations that are in the DEIR. And so maybe we need to just double-check those or are those consistent with the revised chapter 5 numbers?
The revised chapter 5 numbers are consistent with the numbers in the draft EIR.
Okay, but how about Table 3-1, which shows that we're over severity? As I read that, it looks like we're saying that roads and circulation, Highway 1 is already in LOS 3, but that was changed. That was not the evaluation. That didn't seem to be the evaluation in Chapter 5. And didn't seem to be the evaluation in the draft EIR. And those two have been reconciled now, and I'm just wondering whether this needs to be reconciled with those.
And I would defer that until the time I can work with Public Works on updating this table accordingly.
So you'll look at updating the table?
Right.
I just had a very small editorial suggestion on the notes. I only because I had to read the sentence one or two times to really get what it meant. And under the asterisk, it says level of severity for category already passed. I think that's what you meant is level of severity has already been exceeded. Is that correct? Because I wasn't sure if
They exceeded seems to be a more appropriate word.
Yeah,
in the past.
It didn't. The sentence didn't make sense until I read it a couple times through. So.
And
do we have another vote for exceeded?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay.
I would just also, Martha, you might just have a look at the LOSs for the schools, because with the opening of New Cambria Grammar School, that those stars should go away.
Okay.
It better go away, given what they've done there.
That's a good point there. So we're going to get back to Table 3-1, or Ms. Niederville.
Yes.
Moving on to page 3-9, and we have a new page for that.
I have a question as to why the text was changed from... Previously, it said all of the North Coast creeks are subject to summertime limits due to reduced rainfall. And the language has been changed to all of the North Coast creeks that are tapped for such uses could be subject to dry season limitations, depending on the type of rainy season, etc. So it sounds like we've kind of backed away from the statement of limitations on the summertime limits on the limitations on the creeks. I'm wondering why we're doing that.
Well, just to weigh in, starting the text in the middle of the page that's lined out, Cambria, for example, based on its legal entitlement. You know, I think the district had some serious concerns about that, and I think we kind of...
Where are you looking, Bob? I want to follow you.
I'm on the middle of water supply. And
can you read it for the members of the audience?
Sure. I'm in the middle of that sentence that paragraph is all changed, and this language is being recommended for deletion. Cambria, for example, based on its legal entitlement, does not have enough water to support its residential and commercial uses without demand management, and it is likely that the actual amount of water available is less than the legal entitlement. Those are some pretty strong legal words, and the district wrote us a couple letters saying, could you change that? And it looks like she did.
And I would only comment, I think the wording that says could be subject to limitations, I mean, if we're talking about permits, further on in the chapter, there's an extensive discussion about what the legal permitted dry season take is. So if that's what that text means, if limitation means permitted use, I think that the subjective could really is that they are limited to their dry season extractions.
I agree.
Now, whether they're functionally limited by the environment in the sense that a dry year might not give them up to their permit, which it appears to be the case, that's another issue.
I think there are those two issues there, and because if you read further...
Any season you have, and whether you're in a multiple-year drought or not, is what really drives the level of demand management that we have to do. So we came up with some recommended wording. I think it's close. We just suggested that gives a little more latitude, and it also doesn't seem to attack the legality of our existing permits the way this current wording does. So we had recommended against the use of that language. We took pretty strong exception, actually, to the statement that, we were not... let me just read it up there, but... that we didn't have our enough water to support our legal entitlement. So that was a problem that we had with that language. I hope is that clear enough or not?
Mr. Gressens, does the CSD routinely pump up to its maximum legal entitlement?
Well, no, not for the annual amount. The annual entitlement is 1,230 acre feet per year. And that would be a maximum entitlement the way the current permits are listed. So we are around 800 acre feet per year. We've actually come down some since 1988 was our highest pumping year. So we're below that right now, currently in 2005. Through water conservation and through some demand management practices, a tiered rate structure, for example, encourages more water conservation. So we have a number of measures in place. Last year, we had a drought surcharge in place during the summer months. So we take certain measures into effect depending on the amount of rainfall and when the rainfall actually occurs the year before.
But is it the district's position that you could pump up to that? I mean, I know you're pumping at 800 roughly, but is it the district's position that you could pump up to the 1,200 maximum limit if you needed to?
Well, no, not exactly. The 1,230 is for the entire year, including the rainy season. So our permits are actually bisected between summer season demands and winter season periods. So depending on when the rains occur, I don't have the numbers in my head exactly, but our biggest limit, of course, is the summer months, and that's why we're pursuing desalination. And we are limited ourselves right now by limiting future connections until we get that desalination plant online. And that will give us the flexibility, depending on the type of rainy season we have, to serve our existing customers even during a multiple-year drought, as well as, you know, future connections.
I'm just trying to understand the heart of your objection to the original language that says it's likely the actual amount of water available is less than the legal entitlement, because that's the language you've asked to have struck, and yet you're only pumping about, you know, maybe 65% of what your legal entitlement is. So if you were to pump your total legal entitlement, there probably would be problems related to the Endangered Species Act and subsidence and groundwater maintenance. So I'm trying to understand what your objection was to the previous language.
I guess it's the way it's worded. I'll admit I'm not an attorney, but it says basically that where it says, for example, based on its legal entitlement, does not have enough water to support its residential and commercial uses without demand management, and is likely that the actual amount of water available is less than its legal entitlement. I guess it's the last part of that sentence that probably disturbs us the most, that it's likely that the amount of water we have available is less than our legal entitlement. And you know, we have certain legal requirements that we follow with our diversion permits, so we have a legal entitlement that's defined by those diversion permits. So we're not exceeding those legal requirements that are in our diversion permits. And that sentence, the way it can be construed, makes it sound as if we could.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. But it seems like it would be appropriate to have language in that section that is a little more accurately reflective of the highly constrained situation in Cambria's creeks and its water supply and the district's ability to pump. So, I mean, to just say that the North Coast creeks could be subject to dry season limitations depending on the type of rainy season, I mean, that makes it sound like, oh, well, this could happen maybe. And we all know that it does, and it will again. And I mean, maybe we can come up with some language that doesn't make you legally queasy, but more accurately reflects the situation up there.
Maybe just be striking the last half of that sentence would be better, you know, might be reasonable just right after the word.
Okay. The portion
says,
that begins
and it's likely.
That the,
yeah,
okay.
Just strike that part
of the
sentence.
You know, we have on start.
Well, as Commissioner Rappa says, we're going to get to that.
Just trying to make it consistent with the remainder of the chapter.
Do I have another vote for leaving it as is?
I agree with that, combined with the paragraph that we moved up to 3-1, which basically says unless some external source, namely a desal plant, is built, there's trouble. So I think it works fine.
Okay. Consensus is we're going with the new language.
My comment on that section was that it seemed like an appropriate place to mention the fact that Cambria is in level of service 3. Up till now, the only place it's mentioned is that very small type under notes in table 3-1, and I think that's a significant enough piece of information that it should be featured in that section.
I could agree with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I heard another
Well, this section is actually talking about the area-wide status, and I wonder if that would be more appropriate in this section that we actually talk about Cambria.
But we're talking about Cambria in the under one. I mean, that's what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. So if we're going to talk about Cambria there, we're going to talk about Cambria's water supply. Seems like a good place to mention this.
Actually, with the revised language, we don't talk about Cambria. It doesn't appear. It talks about the planning area and everything to do with Cambria is struck in the proposed revision. So it looks like it may have accomplished just that.
Okay, we got. We got the consensus to leave it as is. So we're going to move on to the next page. Page 310, I had a note there in the middle of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Starting the end of the fifth line down, the report indicates these figures may not be of much use for long-term water planning. Well, then why use it? Am I missing something there?
Yeah, and I noted that myself, and I wonder if we might use that as an introduction to maybe do a skip over a couple pages, and let's talk about what's known about the Cambria water supply at this point. That would be discussing the adequacy of the 98 USGS survey and jumping back into the report a little bit further into 324, where they actually get down and talking about the water supply for Cambria. I would either defer any discussion until we got to 324, or let's take it up right now.
So we're going to have to go to 324 to grasp your points here.
Well, that's where the real gory details of permits and surveys and plans that the CCSD has, their planning approach and things like that. It really gets to the heart of this, and so. Maybe what I'd suggest, given where we are in the schedule of the day, my suggestion would be let's skip over the question of groundwater resources right now, and after the break, pick it up and let's go right to it as to what's happening in terms of what we know about the water supply.
So you're going to remember to come back to this little paragraph?
I am.
Okay.
I'll put a post-it on it.
All right.
So we're not going straight to 324.
No. Let's skip over 310.
And so we're moving on to 311, and I point out that this is a replacement page. And I had some notes, and what I do is I tend to read all these letters and emails that we get, and the things that make sense to me, I add. And somebody questioned this Arroyo de la Cruz 1244 number. Has that been discredited? Someone suggested it's less than that. Ms. Nieder, did you defend that number?
Well, based on the report that this information is taken from, it is 1244. There is always talk in Cambria and as in other areas of how things are measured, what assumptions were made, and there's been talk in the community that some of these numbers, if you were to incorporate other assumptions, would be different. So it's really... The results of studies depend on the assumptions made in it. So I think that's where people are talking. If you had made different assumptions, these numbers would be different.
But there is solid data behind the 1244 number. Granted,
correct.
You could make different assumptions and come up with other solid data.
Correct.
Okay. The next question again is in Note 4, Cambria Water District, February 76, engineering report. Don't we have anything later than 76? For note 4 there?
You know, I don't know if we do or not, and maybe we can look at what is happening with this section after we revisit it, and if this section of this information...
So, point well taken that perspectives can differ and data can be accurately gathered but applied differently. Rather than getting into disagreements about which number is correct, my question is, if we're only talking about Cambria and San Simeon and not the rural areas, and neither Cambria or San Simeon Services District gets their water from San Carp or Arroyo de la Cruz, why do we have them included in the table with... I mean, it wouldn't be bad information, except that it's information that people don't agree with. So, you know, maybe it can be just dropped out of the table altogether.
It could be. Another suggestion would be to actually drop the entire table and the preceding paragraph out altogether, since these are areas that seem to have some differences in. And they are background information, which is talking about the general area-wide situation, and the rural area, San Simeon and Cambria are talked more in depth in the later sections. So that could be one option that your commission considered.
That was sort of where I was headed with my thought there.
Works for me.
Okay.
Anyone else?
One last page. So we're dropping all of Table 3-2 and the preceding paragraph on page 311?
310.
I mean 310, which is the page we were going to come back to, but now we're not going to.
Right.
Yeah, we're making real progress.
What happens then? The last paragraph on the paragraphs on page 311 down underneath the notes, we're keeping that? Or does that relate to?
We're keeping what, Penny?
Are we keeping the paragraphs? As I understand, the suggestion is to basically delete page 310 and to delete table 3-2, but then we have a paragraph that begins right under the footnotes for table 2.
That begins long-term demands for supplemental water?
Right.
We haven't talked about that.
So okay.
I don't know if we're dropping that or
well,
not.
Well, if we sort of back up to where what we're looking, if you go, we're under area-wide status of public facility services and resources. Water supply is the first item in that heading. We talked about the proposed replacement language on 3.9, and maybe after we get through that proposed replacement language, there's simply a note that most of the discussion area-wide is rural and outside the community plans, and the specifics of water supply for Cambria will be handled, and we can reference where it's handled further down the document. So we know that we're going to have to come back when we're working the rural side and discuss what we know about water supply there. But for the time being, we can shorten up item one under Big Head D and get on to sewage disposal.
I don't see one as having a Big Head D.
Back.
I just
one
see
page.
One.
One page.
Water supply RMS.
One page.
What it's talking about is the area-wide situation, and since we're only discussing community plans, it might be simpler to just focus down on the pertinent information for Cambria and San Simeon, which is very specific and under some consideration.
Well, I hear what you're saying. This gets to the conundrum about taking pieces of this plan and not taking others. I mean, you can't get around the fact that Cambria and San Simeon draw their water resources from creeks that originate in the rural areas, so I don't think we can avoid talking about them all together, and I don't think that would be a good thing to do. Are you suggesting that we keep or drop the paragraph on page 311 that begins long-term demands for supplemental water? That seems like a fairly generalized paragraph that would be okay.
Seems to me it ought to stay there.
To include that, under the,
right.
It would be then
sure.
Under the RMS.
That'll bump up against the paragraph that starts on 3.9.
Which is not a difficult segue to make.
And that's fine. It could continue. I mean, we're talking general language in the area plan, and we get into while the bottom of 3.11. Maybe the text aside from the. The paragraph on 310, drop that, drop the table 3-2, keep the text, and
it'll bump up when we drop all
right.
The other stuff. And I had a comment on that paragraph, if we're going to keep it, which it sounds like we are. In a previous paragraph that I think we dropped, but not because we didn't agree with it, just because it didn't, apply, there had been a comment.
Time to address that or not?
It is. So looking at the Farm Bureau's language, I don't have any problem with it.
No, I don't either.
End of sentence one. So this would add, this would come in after the sentence that ends, it will be much less expensive to continue to rely on creeks for more water. And then the Farm Bureau's language begins, there must be adequate conditions on the pumping of the creek aquifers. Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
I would too, and I would change one other word that I think changes the sense. While the use of desalinated seawater could prevent potential overpumping of shallow aquifers such as Santa Rosa Creek, it would be much less expensive to continue to rely on creeks. I mean, I think that's the danger is that it's less expensive, and so I think that conditional there makes the sense of that sentence particular. But we got to be sure that we don't overpump it for habitat preservation and agricultural uses.
Mm-hmm. So our consensus is to accept the Farm Bureau's language, lock, stock, and barrel?
I would agree.
And change will to would.
And so not quite accepting it, changing will to would?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving to the next page, 312, must be taken to protect the creeks from saltwater intrusion. I would suggest we're concerned with groundwater basins, not creeks.
Say that one more time. What?
We're talking about the most feasible approach is to be conservation.
As community growth continues.
I think that speaks to the fact that the CSD continues to pump the creeks, and that care must be taken to protect them against these problems.
Are we protecting the creeks or the groundwater basin?
Both. You pump the groundwater.
Well, I see what you're saying. Saltwater intrusion into the creek is not the issue. It's saltwater intrusion into the groundwater underlying the creek.
Right.
Okay.
But maybe I'm missing it.
Yeah.
Do we have a hydrologist in the audience?
Well, Bob sort of is. He's an engineer. Bob, are you trying to prevent the saltwater intrusion in the creeks or the groundwater basin?
Basically, the groundwater basin. We have a mound that we artificially created at the base of San Simeon Creek for that purpose already with our treated wastewater. And just by the pumping regime, you want to make sure you don't pull the salt water inward and impact the groundwater basin.
Okay. Are we accepting that?
Mm-hmm.
I see a mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that finishes that general water stuff. We're ready to start sewage. Before we do that, why don't we take our break and come back at 20 after. We'll start promptly at 20 after, which is a 17 minute. Oh.